I want to continue studying the book of Daniel and doing so from an introductory standpoint, a broad standpoint, and in a way that I just, I want to make sure that we can appreciate this book well as we go through it. There's so many things that are said here and so many things we could talk about, but I at least want to make sure that we're good on a number of things. And today I just want to talk about the fact that Daniel is a book of prophecy. It's a book of prophecy. So let's pray again and just ask for God's help as we consider this. Father, as we look into your word, we ask that you would you do that wonderful miracle of transforming us from glory to glory and until we are into complete likeness to Jesus Christ, which we anticipate one day when we are with you. We pray that you'll move us along that pathway in Jesus' name. Amen. We already know that Daniel is one of the writing prophets. There are a number of classes of prophets. Daniel is among the last of the writing prophets. He's the last of the major prophets. And as you look through the book, it's not that Daniel is referred to as a prophet, but he is called a prophet by Jesus Christ himself when Jesus was speaking the Olivet Discourse. So in Matthew 24:15, Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Okay. And what a prophet was is someone who speaks God's word. And their phrase was, thus saith the Lord. Now some prophets wrote their sermons, and there was no historical context outside of the sermon. Other prophets actually record events in their books. Some prophets just pressed the law upon the people of God. And other prophets predicted the things that would happen in the future. So you're going to find different kinds of materials as you read through the major and minor prophets. But in all of the prophets, God spoke through them. And Daniel's a prophet who recorded both historical details of the captivity and events that took place during the captivity, as well as foretelling what would happen. He foretold events that would take place in a matter of years, hundreds of years, thousands of years, stretching all the way until eternity. So he's described successive kingdoms of his day as well as the eternal kingdom of God. He prophesies about the Antichrist, Christ's second coming, the resurrection of the righteous and the wicked. And he's doing all that in the 6th century BC. And that's truly amazing. Yet he simply is communicating what God communicated to him. And with all of that in mind, I want to go over one simple question, and the outline for this I've taken from Michael Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of Daniel, which is a tremendous book on the book of Daniel. And I just want to answer the question with you this afternoon, how are we supposed to benefit from the prophecy of the book of Daniel? Or from any prophecy? What's the purpose of prophecy? I'm trying to answer that question, of being told something in some detail before it actually happens. Why does that matter? Why should it matter to us? Well, I think the first thing that ought to matter to us perhaps gets overlooked, and it's this. Prophecy glorifies God by indicating that he is in control. This is the wow factor of prophecy. God can predict the future, because he knows the future, because he determines the future. So prophecy is not a problem for him. So you and I flip on a light switch, and we don't do it with a single thought. We just flip the switch. But there's a time in the life of a child when they don't understand how the light switch works. But one day, you flip on the switch, and they see the light come on, and they're just fascinated. They smile, they giggle, they clap. And you just think, all I did was flip on this light switch. Well, in a similar fashion, God, in all of his wisdom, power, and knowledge, he flashes before our eyes the future, and we're just wowed, even though to him it's really nothing. I mean, it's no problem for him to know the past, know the present, know the future, because he is that great and that awesome. And it's his greatness that sets him apart from all the rest. He alone can do that. So when God contrasts himself with the idols in Isaiah's day or the idols that would be in our life, we find that idols just don't compare to God. So Isaiah the prophet set up a battle of the gods of sorts, and the challenge was you need to predict the future. Isaiah 7 or 41 verse 23. Tell us what is to come thereafter, that we may know that you are gods. The test of whether or not you're a god is prophecy. And of course, idols can't speak. And then God, in that passage in Isaiah, offers a prediction of King Cyrus, who is the one to come from the north. And God was even to provide his name a couple hundred years before he existed. And time again in the book of Daniel, the prophet is going to foretell the future. But it is a very simple thing for a great God to do, who is in control of all things for all times. And I think a psalm that really puts this into perspective is Psalm 115. So let me read a few verses from it. Psalm 115, beginning in verse 3. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols of silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak. Eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear. Noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not feel. Feet, but do not walk. And they do not make sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You see, there is such a contrast between God and false gods. Because God is a God who can very easily tell the future. So prophecy, number one, it glorifies God by indicating he's in control. Secondly, prophecy encourages believers by inspiring their confidence. So prophecy is going to ensure our hearts that despite all appearances and things about us, God is carrying out his plan perfectly. Even though today's circumstances are pressing down on us and would discourage us and bring us to despair, just as a ship is filled with water and it sinks, when we have the assurance of our destiny that God has told us, it buoys us up so that we are like Noah's Ark afloat on top of the tempest. So if we're down, what we know then is that we've let too much of the water of life into our boat, and we don't have enough of God's greatness. It's this kind of confidence that is what enabled, in the book of Daniel, three Hebrew, perhaps teenagers, to stand when everyone else was bowing. And it was this kind of confidence in God that allowed a very elderly Hebrew continue to pray, despite the decree and the hungry lions. And it's this confidence in God that is inspired in us by prophecy that carries us through the rough waters of life, gives us confidence. So it glorifies God, it encourages believers. Third, prophecy intensifies the desire for God's will by increasing expectant hope. The truth is simply that knowing that something is coming increases anticipation. And that happens every year with our kids. Many days before Christmas, the kids begin their countdown. And therefore, there's a great anticipation as Christmas becomes closer and closer and closer. And therefore, as we look at the book of Daniel, when we know that the stone is going to come and crush the kingdoms of the world and it's going to be established globally forever, that's how God keeps our hope alive, our anticipation. See, the truth of the matter is when you have no knowledge of some event that's going to take place, you don't anticipate it, you're actually surprised when it comes. And that actually leads us to the last purpose of prophecy. Prophecy motivates sinners to repentance and saints to purity by encouraging their holiness. You see, people don't like being surprised. People want to be ready. And we know that because when someone stops by unscheduled, we don't enjoy that. And we typically don't have a problem because we personally feel like a mess. We have a problem because our homes are a mess. But when Jesus comes, he doesn't come with a white glove running his finger along the baseboard. He comes to inspect our lives. So knowing that, Prophecy motivates those who oppose God to turn towards God. It stimulates God's people to walk in God's way, to advance in holiness. And we find that when Daniel the prophet, in chapter 9, reads Jeremiah the prophet, who wrote about the 70 years of captivity, Daniel responded to that revelation of the future, that prophecy, by this, by praying and confessing sin. Chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, we have sinned. Come. And the Apostle Peter is actually going to present this as a principle, which Daniel has just illustrated for us. 2 Peter 3:11, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, that's the day of the Lord, going to change all these things in the universe. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? You know, I have a couple of fears when it comes to preaching a book like Daniel. And my hesitation comes from those who are overly fascinated by the future details, or thus those who are frustrated by them. Because those who come to the book of Daniel looking to map out the future in perfect detail are coming to the book because they're curious. But that's it. My hope is that God will turn their curiosity to a humble spirit so that they can come to appreciate the greatness of God and not just know what's on the timeline. And anyone who is a bit frustrated with this book because you look at the book and you think, I can't keep all the details perfectly in my mind, I hope you'll just relax. Because you might not remember which nation represents the gold, silver, and bronze, or who's the ram or the goat or the lion or the bear. But at least you can be assured that God knows them exactly. And he's the one who holds the future, and he holds you in his hand today. So I hope we should be encouraged as we go into study this book of prophecy. Let's pray. Father, as we look at this book of Daniel, we do ask that you would use it in our hearts to make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We take on the promise that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. So we would ask in particular that our study of this book would be profitable for us becoming more like Christ. And we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.